Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have had a tremendous week. I tell you, we have the NAACP on the run. Alisa Poor, P-O-W-E, I believe that's how you pronounce her name. She had been jealous running all around the protest that the immigration had. Yes, he was there. He was there for the immigration. But he's never in the black community. Matter of fact, he does exactly nothing for the people. We were in Baltimore on the 4th of April. I tell you, it was the anniversary of the murder of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It was celebrated with a big protest in the hearts of everybody. The big group, churches, and the community activists from Chicago, Philadelphia, Detroit, New York, New Jersey, Baltimore, Utah, Colorado, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Washington came together to protest at the NAACP National Headquarters in Baltimore. The protest was tremendous. It was exciting and very successful. The protest was well covered by the media. But when we got to the national office of the NAACP, they had it taped off like a crime scene. When we got there, it was an embarrassment for the NAACP. They called the police department, the Baltimore Police Department. They came out and informed them that we had every right to protest. And if anybody should know that, they should. Well, they haven't did anything in 50 years, so they probably have forgotten about it. But it's your job, my job, and everybody else's job to remind them that we have every right to protest, and we will be there again next year. Every year, we plan to be in Baltimore at the national headquarters, and we plan to give it to them again. Next time, we'll be bigger and stronger. Every year, we're going to grow, because right now, we have 6,559 membership cards burned on yesterday in my garage. We burned 99 membership and videotaped it. 200 other items that belongs to the NAACP. We burnt the NAACP checkbook. We burnt it. Everything that had to do with the NAACP, hats, T-shirts, plaques, you name it, we burned it. We don't want to have anything that has the NAACP name on it. Matter of fact, they're a disgrace. They're an embarrassment. They're an embarrassment not only to you, not only to me, but to the whole community. I'm ashamed of them. I'm ashamed to know such an organization. And in my eyesight, it doesn't make any sense. But we have to tell them. Until we tell them, until we pressure them, until we force them to do what's right, they will continue to do what they've been doing. They have been pimping in our community. They have been taking money from the corporations. Taking money from the corporations and government to do exactly nothing. And that's what they have been doing for the last 50 years. Well, you still got some diehard NAACP fans. Because here in the city of Benton Harbor, the 350 memberships that were approved purchase, I was only able to get 342 of them to burn the NAACP card. They still have 8 members. And they don't have a quorum. They can't have a meeting. They have never had a meeting since November. They're all they hear, they got a name. That's it, the NAACP. I feel bad that I didn't get 350 of their members, but I got all my members that I had. Over 200 burnt the NAACP card and will not renew. That's the most important thing. But listen, before we go any further, I want you to listen to the chase. Ben Jealous being chased by this wonderful reporter, and she actually tracked him down. Listen to this. It's only 2 minutes long, but please listen. And it says, President dodged the question.
They claimed the organization, quote, no longer stands for civil rights or pays government dollars to keep up the animosity between races and supports the killing of black babies. After emailing and calling the organization for comment and getting no response, Town Hall cut off with Ben Jealous, the president of the NAACP, at a rally for immigration reform. First, he gladly agreed to do the interview. But when he heard the topic of discussion, he ran off and refused to talk to us.
Don't let anybody take your manhood.
We want to get the language right today. Let me say this to you. April the 28th, we will be in Detroit to protest the NAACP at Cobo Hall in Detroit. We will be there at 1 o'clock. We'll call a press conference at 1 p.m., and then we will continue to protest. It's going to be a fun situation. The General Motors, Ford Motor Company, Blue Cross Blue Shield is paying for the whole dinner. They're going to be giving away tickets because people are not going to come. They're going to give away all the tickets because they don't have to pay a single dime. And it will be given to the residents so they can have a big crowd. But look, on that note, we got to move on. Remember, if you are in Detroit, please, please come meet me in Detroit at Cobo Hall, April 28th at 1 p.m. On that note, I got to bring in my good friend, Dr. Short. Dr. Short, are you there?
I'm ready for the spiritual and social revolution, Reverend Jenkins.
Hey, it's coming.
How are you?
It's coming. It's coming, Dr. Short.
Not good. It's good. All things work together for those who love God and are called to his purpose. That's what I always said in Romans.
We know about that. We know all about that. So how you been doing, Dr. Short?
I'm doing well, Reverend Pinkney. And
absolutely. Did you see the video with Ben Jealous on the run?
Did you mean Boy Sellers?
Boy Sellers. That is correct. Thank you for correcting me on that. Boy Sellers on the run. It was one of those situations that I really enjoyed that video, and Alisa did a magnificent job. She got right in their face. Matter of fact, those of you who have not received that video, you can email me at banco9342@sbcglobal.net, and I will send it to you. It is an amazing piece of work by Alisa.
She did a
remarkable job. But it's, once again, another embarrassing situation when it comes to the NAACP.
Because they're an embarrassment, Reverend Pinkney.
Yeah.
You know, it says that God's going to lift up the skirt of unrighteousness. And we don't like what we see up there.
Mm-mm.
It is a shame. It is a crime against our entire people. What this fraudulent group that I call the National Association for the Abortion of Colored People, what they're doing. You know, Reverend Pinkney, when we're not on air, we constantly call each other and give each other information on what's happening. And remember, I called you a few days ago to tell you that Alton Maddox, the famed attorney in New York, had reported to me that the NAACP stands in opposition to the people of color, black, Latino, and others in New York who are trying to stop this Nazi police state stop and frisk policy. The NAACP is against the people. So 5 million people have been stopped, dozens killed. Ben Jealous and the others just don't care. Anybody that's listening to this from the NAACP, aside from being a fool and a sucker and a chump for not having the common sense to ask, what is the policy? Where is the amicus brief for the stop to end the stop and frisk campaign in the city of New York? There is none. meaning the NAACP supports the murder of our boys and girls. They support the harassment of our whole people. And if it happens in New York, it can happen anywhere. They don't mind this happening to the rest of us. Hazel Dukes,
mm-hmm.
She's a buffoon, clown, and a fraud. Stole money from an old woman. How do you get a person who steals from a dying person and put them in charge of an association supposed to look out for people? Karen Boykin's town, the Depo Barbera Dragon Queen. These are the leaders in New York. By the way, I need to mention that Karen Boykin's town also supports vaccines, experimental vaccines that are killing people all over Africa. How do monsters like this, sociopath blacknecks like this, get to be leaders over us? And if you wonder why we're in such bad shape, just look. Do you know if a person has a great body but they're mentally ill, they're going to be in bad shape? We've got sick, mentally ill people. And that video that you sent me with Ben Jealous on it,
mm-hmm.
Notice that he's speaking up for Barney Franks. And let me segue to this. The NAACP right now is putting all of its resources into getting same-sex marriage to be made constitutional through the Supreme Court. So they need to help rich white men with poodles hold hands while our people being butchered in New York under martial law in East Flatbush, they can't say a peep. If you ever want to see where their priority is, it is not us. And by the way, you saw that little quote I sent you. The NAACP's motto for this year is, "We shall not be moved."
Mm.
That sounds like constipation, Reverend Pinckney. And we need a laxative. And we know kaopectate is pink. And I got it, Pinckney.
Mm.
You're laxative for the constipated sellout blackneck traitors who are leading our people to genocide. I want to mention, I met Tawana Brawley last Saturday. Did you know that the NAACP received a bribe from the Dutchess County where this woman was raped and had dog feces smeared all over her? They took a bribe of $25,000 to help make certain that this woman who had been raped, and there had been many other women raped outside of New York City that were black. It was a practice. The NAACP sided with feces being smeared on our women and them being raped and mutilated. This is the NAACP. This is who you send your money to. This is what people have so much pride in. And by the way, you saw that little picture I put up with Ben Jealous with his gut hanging out, looking like he'd had one too many of those donuts sitting in the cop car watching us get killed.
Yes, absolutely.
I was making fun of him, saying that Jenny Craig had him arrested because he had eaten up all of her heirloom recipe books. And there's a sister down in Texas who doesn't get it, because I actually have met Ben Jealous. She's talking about him being arrested outside the Sudanese embassy, but I'm the person that started the protest against the Sudanese government long before and had gone to Ben Jealous when he worked at Amnesty International and asked him for help, and he turned his back on me. So I can make as much fun as I want.
And you know, certainly, Ken, I agree with you 100%. You know, but what we want to do, we want to continue to torture the NAACP, because I think right now we got them on the run. And I'm pretty sure they're going to go to the government or go to someone to help them try to bail them out, but we're going to be ready for them.
Yes, we are. And Reverend Pinckney, I want to put this out here. They can take my email. I'm one person. I don't have a whole lot of people, as you know, but I'll show up. We need captains. We need Banco captains in cities where we can have demonstrations of five people or more, three, four people, to go to their local NAACPs, whether it's their office or their Freedom Fund dinners, and begin to protest. All you got to do is say pimpin'. My email, because I want to find out where you are, because we need to do some stuff in Philly. We need to do some stuff in Atlanta. We need to do stuff in Pasadena where they picketed the Freedom Fund dinner. We need some action in New York City. We believe, like that song, Dancing in the Streets, we're going to be dancing in the streets over the memory of the death of the National Association for the Abortion of Colored People. I want folks to email me, randyshort@hotmail.com. I want to find some people who are willing to be local leaders, to join up with Banco, or if they have a local group where we can begin to keep the pressure on, because they know they're a fraud. Remember, they did the show in Baltimore, and the NAACP's officials lied and said they had 800,000 members.
Mm.
After the poll said 100% of the people that they polled in Baltimore said the NAACP was irrelevant.
Yes.
Now, how would you have 800,000 members if most people think that you're not relevant?
Absolutely. You are 100% correct because I know people here who have died, and they're still sending them membership cards. And also they have sent me and my wife a membership card. Unfortunate for them, we sent it back with a little note attached to it to let them know that we don't want to have nothing to do with your sellout butts.
And Reverend Pinckney, I want to mention one more thing. There's a brother by the name of Wyatt J. Mondesire. He's president of the NAACP in Philly. Mondesire, he's doing nothing for people, black folk in Philly. He's only doing it for the Democratic Party or for gay people. And you know I got that little nasty communication from the Southern Christian Leadership Conference president because they're planning a Poor People's March from Baltimore to D.C., and it's all about gayness and nothing about our struggle. And, you know, we really need to call out the HomoFair recipients. HomoFair is my word for black so-called leaders that get money from rich, white, powerful gay men who don't need our help. They've got, if you know about the Franklin scandal, half those folks up there are gays and lesbians in the Senate and Congress. They don't need a little black organizations like ours to fight for them. They have everything. You get what I'm saying? That we've got to begin to locate all these people, but we need protest in Philly about this brother because he's done nothing about all those women and babies that were killed at 3801 Lancaster Street by Dr. Gosnell, where they were chopping up and raping. He pulled one woman's clothes off and forced an abortion on her. These are the kinds of things that the NAACP knows all about that happens all over America, and Mondesire just collects the money just like Boy Sellers does, and they're allowing us to be wiped out. The same way that Boy Sellers supports Eric Holder, whose wife owns the Chop Shop abortion clinic down in Atlanta, and his wife works in a place here in D.C. where abortions either are done or are outsourced. We have people who actually make their money from allowing our people to be murdered. And you tell me, how could Dr. Gosnell in Philly be unlicensed? And be able, for years people complained, and no one stopped him from killing women and babies in that clinic. That could not have happened without the help of political people like Reverend William H. Gray III of Philadelphia, who is a congressman, who works on the board of Pfizer and the Population Institute. We've got blacknecks in high places killing us. Mm. And we, because they've got money or because we've been told that they're in the NAACP, we think they're for us. They mean to see us all be wiped out. They don't care, and they don't even realize that once they're done with the rest of us, the same way the Nazis shot down the capos after they cleaned out the Warsaw Ghetto.
Wow, that's really tough. But, you know, before you go on, do you have a definition for a blackneck?
Yes, I do. A blackneck is a greedy, self-hating, hateful, overly racist, patriotic, anti-black person that will do anything to hurt other people, black and white, as long as they get paid and as long as their own families benefit. That describes most blacks in leadership. They are ashamed of who they are. They hate God. They love everybody who has money and hate everybody that's poor. They think that black people should be exterminated, and yet they don't realize when they look in the mirror they're black. They think black is ugly, and they are the spiritual children of the Africans who sold us to white folks hundreds of years ago. There's always been this blackneck spirit. It is a demonic, satanic, mammon-driven mentality where they hate everybody else except for a few people. And in reality, blacknecks don't like white people if they're poor.
Mm. Absolutely. Hey, can you put an email together and so we can get that definition together? And
can we put homo?
I think I want to use your word, blackneck. I think people will enjoy hearing people being called blackneck, but I want to have a definition of it. So in case someone asks me what does it really mean, I want to make sure that we're all on the very same page when we talk.
Right.
And I think that's I got to take my hat off to you for that because it's to me it's a tremendous label, and I love it. And I think it should spread all over the United States. All these elected officials who's walking around here, can we call them black necks?
Black necks, that's right. And homofair. I want that out there, too, because black necks love homofair.
Give me a definition for homofair.
Homofair is money that is given to make black leaders dependent on the white male homosexual power structure. We're not attacking folks based on sexuality. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when a person wants to have a march from Baltimore to Washington, D.C., and they have to ignore black issues and they only get to talk about gay issues, and the Poor People's Campaign is a black march by origin. So homofair also leads to black folks confusing who the oppressed are. Homosexuals, gays and lesbians become the oppressed, and blacks become the oppressors. They twist history. So the real slaves weren't blacks, they were homosexuals. The people who faced discrimination weren't blacks, they were homosexuals. The people who were lynched weren't blacks, they were homosexuals. And Al Sharpton is one. They all get money, and they're pushing for marriage equality, yet they won't do anything to help people have ordinary male-female families. They're not doing anything for children to be adopted. They're not doing anything to stop abortion. So they support a crazy anti-family, anti-God, anti-heterosexual family structure system for money, even if they don't agree with it themselves. The same way I think Al Sharpton is a straight shooter when it comes to women, but yet for pay, he'll push homosexuality.
Absolutely. I think in order for him to stay on TV and on the radio, he almost has to push that agenda. But listen, before we go into our Burn Baby Burn, I want to ask you one more question. How do you feel about Ben Jealous being in Washington, D.C., with the immigrations? Now, you know me, I don't have nothing against, but I feel like he need to come to the black community and do something before he move on to try to speak out. Him and Al Sharpton both were there.
We got to break this down. Ben Jealous is a confused biracial person, okay? We have a history as a people, folks, who got a white mother or a white father and a black parent, and they often resent the parent and the people of the parent who have the lowest status. He can't be white, so he's got to be head of the blacks who he doesn't care about either. We've had a long history of folks, and it's the same way you've got all of these. I'm not trying to pick on folk who are fair-complected, who got some white ancestry, who know what time it is, but there are a lot of folks, including President Obama, who are confused, who somehow think that they're special or better than the people darker than them, or I've got some white in me, you're less than me. They're black. He's a black, self-hating racist. He doesn't like black folks who are authentically black. What I mean by authentically are connected to the struggle and are understanding who and what we are. He's ambivalent. And I'm going to say this. He's not only fighting for the Latinos and the others, and I'm not mad at them, but you know what? That's a whole plan to replace us. They've been trying to replace the black population since the end of the Civil War. So he's in on fading us out. They want to be heroes because they get money from the Leadership Council on Civil Rights for fighting for gays and Latinos and not fighting for black people. So Ben is down here fighting for white men with poodles that hold hands. I mean, I don't even care. Let me ask you one more quick question
because I got to bring on Ralph next, and we got to go through this. I got to ask you this one question. Are you saying that the immigration are giving the NAACP money and the blacks are not giving them money, so that's why he don't come into the black community?
No, they get money in black people's name, and they get money by being part of the Leadership Council on Civil Rights. They get money to push immigration. There's no money in fighting for black people. Black folks are to die off. This has been a desire in this country since the creation of this country. Remember, the Constitution of the United States didn't get ratified until they agreed to stop bringing Africans to this country in 1808. We didn't even have a republic until they agreed that there couldn't be a large number of black people in this country.
Wow.
So all he's doing is following up that whole tradition that there shouldn't be any or too many blacks in the United States. And he's
a
black.
Listen, I got to cut you off right there, but I want you to stay with me. Don't leave me, because it's time to burn, baby, burn. I want people to send me your NAACP card. I don't want you to burn it anymore. I want you to send it to me and let me do it. It's important that I do it. So I want people to send me their NAACP card. Yesterday, we burned 99 NAACP cards, 250 other items, a total of 500 items, T-shirts, hats, checkbooks, the whole works. Anything that had the NAACP emblem on it, logo, or whatever it was, we got rid of. But right now, we got to burn. I want you to mail me your NAACP card. I'll be back in 90 seconds. Bear with me.
Crying at the Lucifer, the armies of salvation. Wasting time in the unemployment line. Sitting around, waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution. Poor people gonna rise up. Yes, yes, yes.
About a revolution. That's what we're talking about. I tell you, just recently, there was a young man who was in a coma, and his family asked me to come and pray for him. And we went to the hospital to pray for the young man. They didn't know what to think. They thought that maybe he was about to die. He was a pretty good friend of mine. He would always march with me. He would always be somewhere around with me. But he was in a coma. And I went to the hospital to pray for him. And I guess he heard my voice, because I don't think there's another voice in this whole world like Reverend Pinckney's voice. And when he heard my voice, he popped up. And it scared the nurses, the doctors, and everybody. They ran in there, and they was telling me, you got to get out of here. And we didn't stop praying. We kept praying. And finally, they went and got security and got us out of there. And I tell you, it was an amazing feat. And usually me and my wife, we normally go places and pray together for people. And we've been praying for Lynn Stewart. We've been praying for the TIs. We've been praying for people to make sure that our word gets through, because I believe that when I pray, God does the work. He do heal. And we've been praying for Lynn Stewart, and we're going to continue to pray for her. We're going to have a nice short prayer for her, let her know that we love her, and we know we're pulling for her to pull through, and we're asking that they give her clemency, and we need to do this, because people out there who think that they can get a prayer through, stop praying. Let's start praying for each other. Gracious Father, we come today, first of all, to thank you, to praise your name, to lift you up, to thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, to thank you for salvation, to thank you for loving us first. We know that we can do nothing without you. Lord, we just love you today. We just need you. We know that we can't do without you, Lord. Oh, I thank you so much for another day above the ground. Lord, I ask you to touch right now. I ask that you touch Lynn Stewart. I ask that you touch her mind right now. Touch her heart right now. Touch her soul right now. Touch her spirit. Let this be done in your son Jesus' name. Lord, because I know that you can heal. You say, if my people who are called by my name will just humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil and wicked ways, then they will hear from heaven. Then you will forgive their sin. Then you will heal their land. Then you will heal their body. Then you will heal their money. You said these things, Lord, and I'm standing on that word. Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for all your marvelous blessings, all your past blessings, present blessings, future blessings. But most of all, I like to thank you what you've already done and what you're about to do. That's why I love you so much, because I know, Lord, I ask you to touch those TIs. Touch them, Lord. Strengthen their mind, their hearts, their soul, their spirit. Lord, you can do it. We can beat this government. We can beat this government down. I know it's over 1 million TIs right now. Walk around here. Lord, I know that you can do it. I know it's nothing too hard for my God. But, Lord, we need you so much. Lord, I just said bless right now. Bless Lynn Stewart right now. Bless Ralph. Ralph's been working extremely hard. Touch him. Touch his mind, heart, soul, and spirit. Touch him, Lord. He's been doing a lot of work. He's been doing some incredible work. And, Lord, we need him. We can't lose him. So I'm asking in your son Jesus' name to touch him. Give him strength right now in Jesus' name. And on that note, I have to say amen and amen and amen. God bless you. Ralph, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney, listening to every word, listening to the program as it has proceeded. And as I say, every week it's an education. We learn something every week from the guest you have on. And this week I would like to talk about, as you opened up with Reverend King's speech at Riverside Church, that was the speech of Reverend King that I liked the most. And the centerpiece of that speech was that oppressed people must do the work of liberation. Oppressed people are best conditioned and suited for doing the work. And this is a repeat of our history. And one of our problems of all of the people who call in, the targeted people, of the oppressed people, the people of color who do not appreciate the color, the people who have sold their color to better themselves. And back to Dr. King's speech, it is a continuation of the speeches by Henry Highland Garnett, the great preacher of the 1850s, who spoke of, you know, ending slavery, escape slavery, a Walker's appeal, the appeal to people of color to fight slavery, to join the Union Army to go against the slave states, the slaveocracy that America always was. And I say that we must understand these things, because as I was speaking to Lynn today, she not only thanked you for your prayers and thanked the people for sending in their petition for compassionate release, for going to her website to look at it, but she spoke of the most outrageous thing about oppression and colonialism is the fact that we are miseducated. We don't know anything, and because we don't know things, this is why we get into these problems. This is why the problem continues. And so I would like to ask people to look up Henry Highland Garnett, to look up Robert Walker, and see that King is merely continuing these appeals to do a yourself, continuing your work to educate people, to make people understand what's happening. And one of the things that that we know as a people, those among us who pass for white. Now, passing for white is not just taking advantage of the lack of color. It's taking advantage of a situation that was created by a colonial power to keep us where we are. What does that mean? That means that the Europeans created a situation based on color. They valued people. They set a value system up. The closer you were to white, being of an oppressed group, the more acceptable you were. Or the darker you were, in terms of the more pigment you had, the less acceptable you were. Meaning that those, we all know the funny little statements we have about color, paper bag tests, etc. And we all know of those people who took advantage of the situation of passing for white. Now, passing for white has more than one form. It doesn't just mean that if you are of a light complexion or less pigment, you are treated better. What it means is if you act in a manner that degrades people of color, you become whiter in action. Now, this was a program that dates back to Alexander the Great. You serve the master, we help you. You oppose the master, we kill you. How successful was it? He conquered the known world, and there was much world that they didn't know about. And we get confused about greatness when we say Alexander conquered the world. He did not. He conquered the part of the world that the Europeans understood. And so the Europeans, when they conquered the world, they divided communities, those who supported them and those who did not. And it was a very successful program with Alexander. It was a successful program with every ruler that ever ruled, every country, every colonial power that ever ruled. You identify with the oppressor, and you get rewarded. And a side note here, no people can be oppressed without the connivance of their own. One more time. No people can be oppressed without the connivance of their own. And how do we connive against our people other than acting in a manner of the oppressor? And it takes place in the physical evidence of passing for white in color and passing for white in action. Now, we have a situation today, and it's just announced that we're losing our rights for Social Security. Who is doing it? Mr. Obama's administration. Who is Mr. Obama? President, who became on into power, who got the votes, passing for black. He is on our side. He got 95% of the black women vote, 87% of the black male vote, and a large number of women. And what was he doing? He was passing for white. He was violating the very tenets of Martin Luther King, who says, judge a man not by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. And we saw people in Chicago dancing in the street, Oprah Winfrey, everywhere. Were they examining the content of his character? No. We all know that now. It was the color of his skin. We learned to identify with and praise those who had set up the situation where skin and color mattered. And Obama was passing for white. And we see that he has continued to do so, but we see that we have a whole community, like the NAACP, Ben Jealous, and all of those traitorous groups that you can name that black people support that are supposed to be helping people of color, that are supposed to be helping poor people, and they do not. They are passing for white with their actions. And what is an antidote for that? How do we get away from helping those people who oppress us? And you have taken that first step in fighting the corporations. And I always hearken back to history, education. I try to teach too much in too little time, that we must remember in slavery, during the period of slavery, the trading companies were the government. And so now here we are. Supposedly, we were freed in 1865. We were not. That's a subject for another day. But now we have the corporations who are the government. And what does that mean? That means everybody is in slavery. More people daily are being enslaved. And when you lose your job, you're getting close to slavery. When you lose your home, you're getting close to slavery. And now we're losing our Social Security benefits, moving a larger and ever-growing class of people to slavery. There is nothing new under the sun, my dear Horatio, as Shakespeare once wrote. And there is nothing new in oppression under the sun. And the antidote to what is happening to us is what you're doing. Every week you're out here educating people. Educate, educate, educate. And the more we learn about everything, the better things will be. For example, we talk about acting white, and you were talking about New York City. Here we are in New York City, where there is a program of stop and frisk, and you name the numbers, and millions of people are stopped and frisked. Stopped and frisked. The mayor says it's not a racist program, and I say, how is it that it is only used in black communities? How can you not perceive that as a racist program? And the answer is, you have our politicians, all except a very few. That is including the Democratic Party and the representatives from Brooklyn who say it is not a racist problem. Bold lie. How do people accept that?
The Black Knicks.
The Black Knicks, okay? You have a name for them. The Black Knicks. They go along. They are black. They go along to get along, and they sell our rights. And so here we are, miseducated. We misinterpret everything, and I've said all of that, and I haven't even touched the two subjects I want to touch most, and you have done so very well in getting people to sign on to the Pledge for Compassionate Relief for Lynn Stewart, because she is one person that has helped our community, and we keep forgetting those who help our communities, and we do not help those who helped us. And as Lynn Stewart says, free me and all political prisoners, all of those people who laid it on the line to support the people, the poor, the oppressed people of their community. Now they languish in prison. And as one of the prisoners said, the greatest faith of all is not so much the faith in religion, but the faith of political people in jail, that the people on the outside are going to free them. I thank you, Reverend Pinckney, for speaking of Lynn Stewart every week. I thank you for praying for her every week for her freedom. And I want people to understand education, education, education. I want people to understand, to begin to understand, Obama says he's on our side, but he does everything against us. This week's program is cutting down on our Social Security and our benefits. Last month's program and the program for the last 2 years is foreclosures of housing. And before that is the banking laws. That no matter what you do, you lose money, and the banksters make money. The millionaire corporations, like they've taken over Whirlpool, has taken over Benton Harbor, taken jobs, taken their money offshore, and there's no money back inside to run the government, to have policies. The rich are getting to have policies that make it better for black people, that make it better for poor whites, and make it better for those who work hard merely to have a decent way of life. And when I go back, and I want to make sure that people understand that I'm not a person to separate people based on color. And I think one of the best ways to do that is to talk of our dear Cynthia McKinney. And they talk about how she opposed government policy, how she opposed the international actions of our government. Yes, that is true. But the thing that she opposed and got her in big trouble was in Atlanta, Georgia, the Deep South. This young sister had organized people, blacks and whites, and they were coming together for the first time in Georgia. And that's what got her in trouble. The Democratic Party came out full force. Every Democrat, they threw her out. They lied. They bought the preachers. So it is not a question of color for those who want to be liberated. It's a question of policy. And the basic policy I want to express to people this fine Sunday afternoon is to support those policies that support you and oppose those policies that do not. Support those people who support you, oppose those people who do not, and forget about color. It's about policy. Obama has not made one policy to support the people who elected him. We must oppose him. The NAACP has not come up with one policy to support the people who supported them with the original ideas of W.E.B. Du Bois, etc., and the people who fought with the Niagara Movement to make this organization possible. They took it over. They hijacked it. They do not represent the people who support them. Whose fault is it? Then go back to the beginning. Henry Highland Garnett, Walker's Appeal. So the work of liberation is best done by those oppressed, and we must start with supporting those people who support us. Reject those who do not. And it brings us back to solving every problem. Sister Lynn, who has supported us for all of her adult life, she sits in jail, and you ask for support. We understand that the trading companies that were the government during the slaveocracy that America was in the beginning are now in the form of corporations, making everyone a slave, regardless of color. The corporations have learned that. Why can't we learn the same thing that the corporations have learned? Color does not matter because there have been more foreclosures in the white community than in the black community. More people on welfare in the white community than in the black community. More people have lost jobs in the white community than in the black community. How is it that we support Mr. Obama, who's a part of our own destruction? So, Reverend Pinckney, I thank you for your prayers, your work of education, your work to try to get those targeted people to understand the psychology of getting away from this mental stroke that we have suffered, this oppressive mental stroke that makes us think that things are that are not. And the way to cure oneself of a stroke, of any stroke, is to do things in a different way. And we all have been driven mad by this system. So the answer, the antidote to this destruction, this mental and emotional stroke that we have suffered due to poverty, racism, etc., can be overcome by directing our actions in organizing, joining people who want to make it better, oppose people who want to make it worse. And as we join in, as we organize, this is the vehicle, the weapon that will cure us of our mental stroke, our mental and emotional stroke, and put us all on the right path to liberty, freedom, and justice. for all. Thank you for this time, Reverend Pinckney, and I'll be listening to become educated more, and I will look forward to seeing you April 29th in Detroit. And I want to talk, before that time, I want to talk about in the early days in America. I'm talking about in the 50s and 60s when you would say Detroit, Clinton, all of the big companies in Detroit, where we were in awe of the leaders and the steel capital of the world in Pittsburgh, out in Philadelphia, these fine companies that were the wonder of the world where people worked and were organized, all gone. Now we talk about everything being made in Japan. Mm. We talk about everything being made in China. What happened? It happened to the country. We have been destroyed. And we didn't even notice it. So, Reverend Pinckney, educate, educate, educate. Raise these issues, and then maybe we too can join the march to a better place here. And so that we could invite, you know, our Savior back here and now, rather than wait to go to the land beyond, the happy hunting grounds in the sky, to heaven, to paradise. Let's make a paradise where we live by acting in a proper, just manner. Thanks again, Reverend Pinckney.
All right, Reverend. Thank you so much. And listen, that's April the 28th, 2 weeks from today. We're going to be in Detroit at Cobo Hall. We're going to get there. We're going to have a press conference at 1 o'clock. And I think that we're going to have a pretty good crowd, or they're going to have a pretty good crowd. Like I said, General Motors and Ford Motors and Blue Cross Blue Shield is paying for the whole dinner. So everybody will get in just about free if they give you a ticket. So what we're going to do, we're going to make sure we be there and let them know that we're serious. On that note...
Let us remember, I will be there to see you. And as President Obama said, Detroit is back. GM is back. They are back, but the workers are not there.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's the right word. Thanks a lot, Ralph. Hey, listen, we had our Banco meeting on yesterday, and we had a very, very special guest, someone who I have learned to love and appreciate his work. I call him John Brown. Because he's a man who had actually stood out. And actually, hey, he walked the walk and he talked the talk. And yesterday he was the speaker at our Banco meeting. And the people was excited. We had a full house almost yesterday. But any time that we do usually have a meeting, we always get a lot of folks. But on this occasion, we had what we call a special guest. And I just want to say, Ken, you did a remarkable job. I was so proud just to have you on the stage speaking on that level, talking about target individuals like never before. The people have never, ever heard a person talk about being targeted by a government. And there was one guy in the audience who actually wanted to know, when did it start? He understood exactly what was going on. And I tell you, those of you who are out there, you need to take your hat off to Ken. Your TIs out there who don't appreciate him, who don't understand him, you better start. Because this is what it's all about. Ken, are you there?
I'm here, Reverend Pinckney. Thank you for that introduction. That was very good. And I did enjoy speaking at your meeting yesterday. It was very... very good, and I had a lot of people asking questions, and that's what I want.
And you know what? You did a magnificent job because, see, a lot of times people do not understand this. You know, they might hear it from me, but you was there in the present speaking about this stuff that they never heard before. People have never heard anybody talk about, I'm a target individual, and then be able to explain it the way you explained it to them. And one guy, I mean, they could have went on for days, but we didn't have that much time, but we could have went on and on and on with that situation, because any time that you find a person that know about being microwaved, and there's so many other TIs out there, see, we have to get the word out and educate the people. See, that's one of the issues that most people don't know a thing about being individual, and you did a magnificent job. So
well,
I want you to do me a favor. I want to talk about those preachers in that faith-based money just for a second. I'm not going to hold you long. You did so good yesterday because I don't know whether you can come back and top that off or not. But just talk about that faith-based money just for a second so people can get an idea about that.
That you're talking about the clergy response team.
Right.
A lot of these people, whether they're targeted or not, if they go to their churches, these churches get money from the government to teach the Bible the way they want it taught, and they're also told if we have martial law or civil unrest, that you go turn your guns in and you go to these, they call them family centers, but they're actually FEMA prison camps, and they're going to march these people right in, TIs and all. And in the same churches, if the TIs go in and tell the pastor what's going on with them, not only does he knows what's going on, but he acts like he don't believe them, and he gets the rest of the congregation to shun them, make them act sound like they're crazy. You need to go get some mental help. All of this goes on in most of the churches that I know of. And we'll get back to the NAACP. I got a girl who should be on today just listening because I went to see her. I hadn't seen her in a while. Really sweet girl in Detroit. And her name is Leslie. And so I was telling her what we were doing. So she said she's going to come on and listen today. And she'll be on Thursday to talk. But I think April the 28th, I will be there in Detroit for you. And I will try to get her to come with me. I'm sure she will. And I think it'd be very nice to send her in and try to make a complaint with NAACP if she hadn't already. I guarantee you they won't do nothing for a target individual, black, white, or no matter what color you are.
They won't do anything for anybody.
Well, they're getting the money from the corporations, and they're not going to bite the hand that feeds them.
That's
so,
right. Right. And believe me, I understand that, Ken. And one of the things that really, really irks me more than anything else is that, you know, all these years, most people didn't even know that. Most people didn't even think about it. They really thought that the NAACP was something that you could go to and get help. You can't get any help with the NAACP. Nothing.
Well, I think in our group, probably 60% of them are single black women that's in the target individual group. So I'm sure there have been more than one or two that's went there and tried to get help.
Oh, absolutely. And my good friend in Chicago, she's a target individual, and she always she's really, really against the NAACP 100% because they gave her the total runaround, but that's what they do. They did take her complaint, though. They took her through complaint. They sent it to the state. The state sent it to the national. The national sent it back to the state. The state sent it back to her, and they never called her. And this took almost a year.
Well, that's probably called the runaround, isn't it?
That's what you call the runaround. You're getting ready to get spent when you deal with the NAACP. And remember this, they'll take a complaint because what they do, they stack these complaints up and say, this is what we're doing in the community. Because when I was the president, they had me to take complaints, but they wouldn't do anything about the complaints.
Exactly. Well, you know, a lot of people, they may even be some of them on this line today or somebody will hear this podcast, they think they can go along to get along. And when this comes down, our government doesn't like any of us.
Absolutely.
They don't like the police officers that they got beating the black people or white people with their clubs. They're going to get their pensions stolen.
Absolutely.
They don't care about anybody. They call themselves the elite. Well, I call them the scum because elite means you're better than other people. Well, they're not elite to me.
Hey, you are 100% correct. Hey, Ken, do you know anything about the Agenda 21?
I know a lot about it.
You know, because I know that they're going to start implementing this into our communities. Can you talk a little bit about that? I give you, you know, you can take as much time as you want and tell us about it. I'm going to bring on Amy and let her talk a little bit. And then we can deal with it on that level.
Okay, on Agenda 21, they're wanting to move everybody out from out in the countryside into the cities. And they the way they got it designed, they already started that in New York. Ralph probably knows about that. They're going to have 400 or 500 square feet apartments that people live in to save the earth. You know, we need to save the earth real bad. They're going to move them into that, and they plan on using mind control. What they're doing to the TIs today, they plan on doing to everybody at that time. They think they're going to get power. I don't think it's going to work out for them, but they think it is.
Well,
but
you know, what they're doing now, you know, and also they're going to control the size of your family. Most people, you're not going to be able to have a one child or two children at the most.
Right, exactly. Just like China, 1.3. America, I think right now is like 1.3 or 1.4. You know,
the people in China.
To keep a population going, you need at least every woman having two babies to keep the population at. They don't want it that.
No.
They want to get rid of blacks, whites. They don't care what color you are. If you ain't an elite, they want to kill you off. They're doing that right now with the diseases. When they hit TIs with microwaves, they cause cancers. They're causing all kinds of stuff right now.
Mm.
These people should be all going to the FEMA camps.
Absolutely. And, you know, another thing that's happening, too, it says that with that Agenda 21, the government going to set the prices on all goods, on all the food you buy. They're going to control the business. They're going to increase the taxes on gasoline. And it's designed to change the economy 100% and basically to eliminate people like me and you.
Well, sure, they're going to allow you so much water a day per family, but yet they say we need to save the earth. But if you look at Bill Gates and all the ones that think they're the elites on the top, they're flying around private jets every day. They got 32-room houses. I bet you they ain't working on 8 gallons of water a day. So the Americans better wake up and this here going along and treating the PIs the way they treat them, going along to get along, it ain't going to work for you because they're going to kill you in the end.
That's right, you know.
On that note, I'll let you go to Amy or somebody else. Thank you, Reverend Pinkney.
All right, thank you. You did a great job, and I really appreciated you yesterday. You did a magnificent job. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
All right. That's my good friend Ken. We call him the John Brown because he's definitely out there. He's actually doing some real work out there. He's doing as much work as I am. Let's put it that way. Listen, Amy, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinkney.
How are you doing today?
I'm hanging on in there with the thanks of the Creator because these demons over here microwaving my eyes, and I want to let you all know that when you may think you have pink eye, your eyes might be microwaved. Now, the reason why they have to turn up the torch on me, because I'm one of the people like Ken, myself, have touched the heart of Reverend Pinkney, because it's very hard to explain what a targeted individual is to people that do not have a clue what a targeted individual is. A targeted individual, to make a long story short, a targeted individual is a person who is placed into a government radiation remote neural monitoring and mind control program. The objective of a mind control program is to use a supercomputer to outthink the human mind and better manipulate it from the powers that be. And what a supercomputer is you can look up human brain versus supercomputer brain interface technologies. This means a psychological war on the mind, and it's mind-uploading technology that is a brain emulation or mind-uploading technique, sometimes called mind transfer, in the hypothetical process of transferring or copying a conscious mind from a brain to a non-biological substrate by scanning and mapping a biological brain in detail and copying its state into a computer system or another computational device. The computer would have to run simultaneously, modeled so faithful to the original human being's mind that would behave essentially like the same person of the original brain. For all particular purposes, the simulated mind is assumed to be part of a virtual reality simulated world, supported by anatomic 3D body simulation model alternative, and the simulated mind could be assumed to reside in a computer inside or to, they call us, a humanoid robot or a biological body replacing its brain. And what that all means to you all is that that's how advanced technology has gotten. And this technology is designed no different than a life support system, help keeping you breathe via by remotely satellite. And if they want, depending on what these mind control programmers, hackers, want to tap into your system, your brain waves, what kind of eugenic program they have for you, how they want to break your body down. So many people they need to break their body down, they'll give them some form of cancer, and then not just they'll give you some form of cancer, they'll have to have you broken down in some type of way, whether with some causes of disease, internal vital organ disease, by microwaving your internal vital organs, calling it some form of disease, that the ones at the top have already created this, the technique, and with it being medical symptoms for the targeted individual. So what the targeted individual is dedicating their lives, putting their lives on risk to expose this to humanity, to help protect and save humanity from these powers to be, how they're using a scientific eugenic program to break down our bodies, and why the congressional members do not want to do anything, because they are part of the problem. And when they put these so-called symptoms on these medications saying these are side effects, that is a clever, sophisticated method that they are using, because they want to blame it on the medicine or anything but the technology. So what we targeted individuals are saying to you, get educated about the technology. Learn that the technology can mimic any so-called illness that these doctors say you have. Like my eyes are microwaved, look like some red eye bandit or irisitis, inflammatory iris infection. I will not go to the doctor. I did the home remedy by putting honey in my eye and bottled water on a towel and closing my eyes and meditate. You know why I'm not going to the doctor? Because I am a targeted individual, and when we go to the doctor, that's, we're helping our enemies to declare, use the medical community as an outlet to covertly murder us. And if I can't go to the doctor and I can't tell them I was under a microwave attack, why should I go let the doctor just say I had irisitis and not because of the actual effects? So what we're saying to you all, be careful what you think is wrong with your body, because you too can be a targeted individual. Any questions, Reverend Pinckney, for me?
Well, here's one thing. How do it feel when they actually be microwaving you?
It's like somebody throws some chemicals in your eyes, and your eyes are just constantly irritating and burning and burning and burning. Like somebody just throws, like I said, some bleach, or you done got some soap. You know how you get soap in your eyes and your eyes burning? That's how my eyes burning. And it's a constant burn. And you know what they tried to program me, because I was sitting up in the study group with my Muslim family. They told me to scream out loud while they was turning up the frequency to burn my eyes. They wanted me to scream out loud so I can act out of character, so that I can be triggered from this signal coming to my mind. And instantly, God told me to tell them what they was trying to do, and they left me alone instantly. See, what helps for a targeted individual is for people around you to understand what you're going through, because this not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday, the Muslims, it took me 3 years to get support from my Muslim sisters and brothers. So what they're doing is they're going to allow me to bring in a barrier of TIs and give us a platform to speak, and they will not open up, no friends, no guests, nobody will be allowed to be there but the Muslims, because Minister Farrakhan already done laid the foundation of knowing, of letting the Muslim community know that the enemy is a diabolical, wicked creature, and he will do you science, anything, and try to depopulate or covertly murder us off. So they already know what it is, because I make sure that I let them know. Like, I wore sunglasses today. I let them know, well, I'm wearing my glasses today, because they microwave my eyes. They say, oh, okay. But somebody else wouldn't understand it. And then when people, I would say this to other people, they wouldn't understand. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring in, I have paved the way to bring, open up a special conference with the TIs in the Bay Area, as well as the ones on the conference call, for the Muslims to hear the story and what my objective and goals are, to show that when we first be under these attacks, we go to the doctors, we go to the police, we go to the FBI. They know this is government patent devices, but they do not want us to know that they know, so they play these games like, well, did you do this? This pity pack back and forth game all the time. They know it's a government program. So we need all the support we can get from people who have a voice, and that will give us a voice, that will say, look, you're not going to keep playing like these people crazy. And why is it very important? Because if you don't help us, then you could be placed in this program not just to be tortured, but to be medically tortured, and you thinking that your body just breaking down and not know that you are being microwaved yourself. You get an arm, you get a pain and ache in your arm, you go to the doctor, go to the doctors. They hacking these doctors' head with this technology, tell them you got to do surgery. You might not even walk out to surgery. So that's why it's very important for you to support the TI community.
You know what? And you are absolutely correct. And I tell you one thing, you know, it's tremendous. You know, there was a judge, you might know who she is. She was she used to live in Las Vegas, I believe, or California one. She called me the other night, and she told me one of the most amazing stories, stuff that, you know, that you kind of like know, but you don't have anybody actually saying it. And then she told me she was a T.I. I was shocked. She was a judge. So it doesn't make a difference who you are. If they want you, they're gonna target you. So it doesn't make a difference to those people who think that they're above it. I'm going to tell you today that you're not. And I tell you, there's over 1 million TIs in this country. On that note, I got to leave you, Amy. And I will get back with you as soon as possible. You hear me?
Thank you, Reverend Pinckney. I want to say I truly believe Lynn Stewart is a TI as well.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Well, we will talk to you, and I'll let you have the last couple of minutes when we get ready to talk. On that note, Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinckney.
But Mary,
and
before
I
you
want
start,
you to
I
know
you
that
talk about
I'm glad to
from
be
me.
Here, and I thank you very much. You know, Reverend Pinckney, I just cannot stop looking at the videos of you and many other protesters out there in front of the NAACP in Washington, D.C., and in front of the NAACP National Headquarters in Baltimore, Maryland, and listening to the excellent points that you made. And now I have that in an article at Mary Loves Justice, and the article is at Pinckney Report on NAACP Protest, April 3rd through 4th. Now, in addition to your report, I'm going to add to that article, I'm going to add the report by townhall.com, because they were doing a follow-up with Benjamin Jealous, and they caught up with him in Washington, D.C., at an immigration reform meeting. Did you see that video, sir?
Yes, I did, and I talked about that earlier. It was one of the most exciting videos that I have witnessed in a long time. He did an excellent job.
I tell you, that man, did you know he could run that fast?
I had no idea that he was a track star.
You know what? I said to the girl, you know, she couldn't hear me. I was coming to the video. I said, don't press him because he will knock you down.
That's
you
right, because he did push you down. Is that correct?
That's right. Ben Jones almost knocked me down. He pushed me out the way at a Troy Davis rally. I was trying to let his sister know that the best way to, you know, have an impact on saving Troy Davis at this point, it was the last weekend he was alive, is to call for a boycott. Because, see, she was having national cameras on her, and I felt like if she called for a boycott, then number one, we would have had a boycott, and number two, the state of Georgia would have been less inclined to kill Troy Davis under those circumstances, which were no evidence. Honey, Ben Jones gave me a push, so I was afraid for the reporter lady from townhall.com who was interviewing him because she was very persistent and he kept running. He did not want to answer any questions about how he felt about you and other protesters who protested the NAACP, calling it dead. April 4th, it was pronounced dead. Is that right?
That is correct. And
yes.
Remember this, Ben also, like, during the process, he was about to give her an interview until she asked the question, the key question, what can you comment on the protests of the NAACP? And when from then on, he started running.
Yes, yes. But you know what I noticed? He didn't have sense enough to get out of the way until his aide, who happened to be a Caucasian gentleman, told him, no. Did you notice that?
Oh, absolutely. He was definitely telling him not to do it. But when he mentioned the protest, he began to run then. And then she ran after him. Which made it so wonderful, she ran right after him. She did not allow him to get away.
Right.
He's a real creep anyway.
Yes, he lost a couple of pounds that day, I tell you. And I'm sure he was sweating. So that was wonderful. I congratulate you and other concerned people for protesting that hypocritical, sold-out organization. And you know what I saw online? I was browsing. I saw where the NAACP is out there in the Midwest talking to Caucasian groups and saying the NAACP is not just for blacks. In other words, they're trying to branch out because they know that they have betrayed us long enough, black people.
Well,
so now they're trying to branch out.
They get money from other organizations. That's why they support that, and that's the whole thing. If they can't get no dollars from you, they're not going to do it. All they're doing is using black folks, and they get their government dollars and them corporation dollars. In other words, they're pimping in our community.
Absolutely. And they were saying to the Caucasian workers in the Midwest, we're not just for blacks. And they were speaking to all white group of workers. So I'm going to tell you, they will betray you too. They will betray you too. Just let the price be right. They will throw you under the bus. So you can go with that if you want to, Caucasian workers, Latinos. You can go with that if you want to, but they will betray you also. Reverend Pinckney, did you hear about the young lady who was killed by a Walmart guard on Tuesday?
No, I did not. Talk to me.
Yes, she was. They say she was shoplifting, and she had two little kids with her. And as she left the store, this Walmart guard came out of the store, pulled his gun, and shot her to death right in front of her two children. That's Walmart.
Wow.
So I thought that was pretty bad. And also, I read about this couple, a Caucasian couple, who were shot and killed by the police in Oklahoma. The woman wasn't even wanted for anything, but her husband had been accused of robbing police officers' homes and stealing their weapons. So they caught up with him, and they shot down this man and his wife was wanted for nothing, and they just shot up the car is riddled with bullet holes. So that happened in Oklahoma. Also, we have Leonard Pilfer, who's still a political prisoner, like our own Lynn Stewart is, and there's another petition to free Leonard Peltier. Did I pronounce it right?
As far as I know, that is correct. That's how I pronounce it.
Yes. And then we have our own Catherine Connor, who is, you know, the thing is that Catherine Connor is one of the people who has a very exorbitant probation to pay. They have her paying $388 a month. And her monthly income is
$586.
Wow. Isn't that something? Leaving her $198 a month to live, to pay her house note, to pay her car insurance, to buy her food, to buy, you know, all the things people have to pay. They left her $198 to do it. So what they did was they set her up for prison. And now she's $3,000 behind. And because her previous probation officer had told her that she could just pay what she could. And so she was paying $100 a month. Every month she was running almost $300 behind. So if you're running $300 behind every month, it doesn't take but about 10 months to be $3,000 behind. And so that's where she is now. And we're asking people to give donations of $10 each. You know, a lot of people talk about they're against mass incarceration and they're against prison slavery and they're against the racism in the justice system. And so, you know, that's talking about it. But we have each, we have until June to each person pay $10. So I'm asking everybody to please put their money where their mouth is. In my blog, my exposed blog, I have, I have a blog. It's called Save Catherine Connor. And that's spelled the traditional way, K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E. It says Save Catherine Connor. And it gives a little background on her case, which she's wrongfully convicted. And it asks you to please dig in your pockets between now and June. Because I tell you, sometimes it's hard to come up with $10 that you can spare for anything. But we're hoping that everybody who cares will be able to spare $10 knowing about her June deadline between now and June. So, you know, it's business as usual, Reverend Pinkney. We got people being killed by police. We've got drones going off in Africa, killing children, men and women, civilians, going off over there in the Middle East. We've got people protesting like yourself, wrongdoing, and we've got just business as usual. I told you last week, I think, about the police seemingly sent this agent to my house faking, pretending to be a healthcare worker and getting medical tests on my mother, which is illegal as hell. I called the police and they won't take a police report. They said that's not illegal. So, and the woman told me she didn't do anything illegal. And I said, now, wait a minute. How would this police officer be able to say that unless they sent her here? How would she know what the woman did? But she told me, but she didn't. I'm sorry?
I said, that's right. You're absolutely correct.
Okay. So, you know, we got COINTELPRO running around, and we've got these blacks in office who are in favor of all of this. And we know that mass suppression is happening because my mother, who they did these artificial medical experiments on, In a nutshell, we had the nerve to sue the Jenny Cochran firm for defrauding us when Memphis Shelby County Jail secretly arrested and murdered Larry Neal. Speaking of Shelby County, I'm very proud of the protesters who got together 1,200 people, and they came together in Memphis, and they protested the Klan rally there on the 30th of March. And they only had 60 or 61 Klansmen, but they had 1,200 people to come out and protest them, and they had 400 to 600 police officers to protect them in full riot gear. So they really protect the Klan in Memphis, Tennessee. Which, you know, the people who came together to protest were nonviolent, but Memphis spent, I think, around $300,000 to protect them for a few hours. And we just want to congratulate the people who came out and stood against hatred and division of racists, because we believe we're preparing for heaven, for all of God's people will get together, and that is black, white, red, yellow, brown, all people who care about. You know what I read yesterday in the Bible, and I'll let you go? I read Proverbs 29:7, and it says, the righteous care about justice for poor people, but the evil man has none of that concern. The evil man is not the least bit concerned about justice for poor people. They don't care about righteousness and justice, but that's for the righteous. You know, this is a battle for righteous people. So, you know, the thing is that evil-minded people, they don't even know why you bother with us, Reverend Pinckney. They don't know why you don't have one of those big mega churches and teach a prosperity gospel and forget about us. But I thank God for you, and I thank God for you being a minister who is actually about the work of Jesus Christ. The work of Jesus Christ, not just talking about what he did great. You're doing, you know, he said that when I leave, you'll do even greater things than I did. And you're a man who is living up to what Jesus said would happen when he left, and he left the Spirit of God in some people. It's open to everybody, but, you know, some people reject the blood of Jesus. And I want you to please give your address, sir, so that people who want to support a real ministry that is doing the work of God and not just telling you what Jesus did 2,000 years ago and what his disciples did. They, you know what? Those disciples are dead now. Their work is over. They're waiting on Jesus to come and raise them up in the last day.
Wow.
But we're supposed to be the body of Christ today, and Reverend Pinckney is such a man. He is standing up for what's right. He's standing up for the righteousness and justice for the poor, like the Bible said, do it. And you can do it, too, by supporting his work. And I ask you to support Reverend Pinckney and his work. That's simple. So please give your address.
Well, you know, I'd rather for them to send some money to Catherine Connors. And you know, it's very difficult to then send to two people. But why don't you give Catherine Connors' address again? As a matter of fact, I'll even try to bring her up after we get through talking and let her explain. But give her address. Give her address again for her.
All right. Well, thank you, Reverend Pinckney. You see what kind of man this is? You know, how many ministers say, don't pay in church today. Help this person who is facing prison for a crime he didn't do or she didn't do. You see? I want you to please, please support Reverend Pinckney. Go online and look for bhbanco.org. Get the address, that's Banco, B-A-N-C-O, and send him a generous offering. And also, as far as Catherine Connor is concerned, you can go online and look for the words in Google, Save Catherine Connor. And she has a GoFundMe account. And you can send $10 or more. You can send less, but I'm just thinking that we all can get up $10 between now and June and send to this, because all she needs is 300 people to pay $10 each, and she would not go to a Louisiana prison. So So if you really care about mass incarceration, racism, discrimination, false imprisonment, if you really care about those things, then I ask you to put a little money where your mouth is. Please support Reverend. Please support Catherine Connor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. You know, it's just tremendous listening to you, and let's continue this fight. We know we got a real dog fight with the NAACP. And also, for those who don't know this, for those who are out there, April the 28th, we will be in Detroit to protest the NAACP. And on that note, I got to bring in Roz. Roz, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I'm so blessed to be here with you today, and I am standing with all of you, and I know that God is with everyone. We have the Lord with us, and he loves everyone. And we can't give up. We have to have the faith, and we're going to know that we're going to succeed.
Hey, that's for sure, too. That's for sure. And, you know, we just have to, you know, get this thing right. You know, we can do it. It doesn't take a whole lot of work. If everybody do a little work, we'll be successful.
Exactly. But all of us, white people, black people, Mexicans, all of us coming together, our lives are being ruined. What's going on in this country today? We are in a war. We have to get together and stand up together. But we have God and they don't, and the light is always victorious over darkness.
Hey, you are absolutely correct, you know, and that's what we're trying to achieve right now.
Right, and, you know, with the NAACP and Charles Smith and just not standing up when he died because of LAUSD and his death was needless, and it was just disgusting, and they didn't care. And I even turned to a white friend of mine. I said, what do you think of the NAACP? I was telling her what you were doing. She said, oh, they don't do anything.
Mm.
So everybody knows across the country.
Everybody knows that they don't do anything. And, you know, it's shameful and it's disgraceful. Matter of fact, they took a survey in Baltimore to find out whether the NAACP was still relevant. And it came back 100% that they was no longer relevant. That was shocking. I can see 99%. What about the people that are actually members of the NAACP? Do they also feel that the NAACP is no longer relevant?
I'm certain they do. I go to lots of groups, and I don't feel they're relevant. They're not doing anything that's important. They're not standing up. They're somewhere else. That's why we're in this mess today.
Absolutely. But you know what? We got to hold them accountable for their action and their inaction. We got to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do. Somebody got to do it. See, there's 1,000 members of the NAACP who don't want to do nothing. All they want to do is be a member. It's just like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, same stuff, but we allow them to get away with it because nobody wants to hold them accountable. So it's time that we move forward and do the things that need to be done.
Exactly. Every time we see an injustice, we need to stand up. Every time we need to see somebody speaking up on our behalf, we need to call and say, we're with you. What can we do to help?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, I had the opportunity to talk with your friend and
Judge Eve.
Yes. I mean, we had a tremendous conversation. Matter of fact, she kind of like laid the groundwork of the work that I'm doing in the court system by me going to the courthouse every day, court watching, and talking to her. Everything seemed to fall right into place. I mean, all these years, you actually want to talk to a person who will be open enough to express exactly what's going on in the court system. She did a great job. We talked and talked, and she's going to be my friend because I tell you, I think she enjoyed talking to me, and I enjoyed talking to her.
Oh, she said she was blessed. I haven't really spoken to her. She's a friend of the Bowmans, Ann and Bill Bowman, and they connected me with her, and then I keep sending my emails about you, and so somehow, by praising the Lord, you two have connected, so I feel very blessed.
Hey, I feel blessed myself because we have an opportunity here to help her, and she have an opportunity to help us.
Right. All of us together. So
that's
it doesn't
right.
matter.
And this is the message I'm trying to send to everybody, that we need to just help each other.
Exactly.
It seems
exactly.
like it's so simple. I don't see why everybody be trying to make it so hard.
I don't know. They just look the other way and think it's not happening to them, but it is.
Absolutely. You know, and then you know things are happening, yet you pick fights with people who don't want to fight with you.
Right, and people, I even got an email from somebody that doesn't even understand how really sick I am.
Uh-huh.
Why can't I move forward? I have moved forward. My articles are out there everywhere. I'm emailing everywhere.
Right, and you're moving forward, and you're doing all the things that you need to do in order to make this thing correct.
Exactly. Let me tell everybody out there, my judge, Gerald Cohn, from my workers' comp case, received and was honored as the judge of the year for the Stanley Moss Legacy of Justice Award.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, we should have been out there picking it.
Exactly. Which
absolutely.
I didn't know till after, but I will be writing the head of the San Fernando Bar Association.
And get other people to write, too.
Yes. My email, I'm perfecting it. You know, you have to get them so they're just right.
yeah. We know how some folks are. But you got to just do what you have to do, because I see an opportunity here. By him receiving that award, you can also blast both parties, one for giving it to him and him.
Oh, right. Exactly. But I am going to go to the president of the Bar Association who gave him this award. And he wrote this article, the president of the Bar Association, saying the legal system is based on the principle that an independent, fair, and competent judiciary will interpret and apply the laws that govern us. I don't know where that happens to be, not in my case or many cases out there, or as you've all informed me and educated me about so many blacks that are in prison that accept sentences just so they won't go to death row, which I find terrible, what they've done to all the black people.
Well, it's not just death row. They send you to jail for everything. Especially here in Benton Harbor, you can jaywalk and end up in jail.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's really the way it is. But we, you know what? It seemed like it's so simple for us to just stand up together and fight this madness. But it seemed like every time that someone have an issue, well, we'll say, well, that's not happening, or that couldn't happen. It must be something else to that. And instead of trying to find out the truth, what we do, we try to criticize. And that's what the government do. It's designed so they don't have to do no fighting. As long as you're fighting with me, they don't have to fight with me. So that's what it all adds up to. That's why I don't fight with nobody.
Exactly. Well, the schools, they do the same at the schools. The teachers go against you. When I said Charles died, they said, oh, Charles, in the email for the subs, they said Charles was older. That's why he died. Or he smoked. But that was years and years ago. That's why he died. I mean, you know, Charles died because he was sprayed in his face with a fire extinguisher. Paramedics weren't called, didn't have the proper treatment, medical. They didn't pay him right. They denied, they delayed, and he died. Just like what they're doing to me.
Absolutely, absolutely. You are 100% correct.
Right.
But you're fighting a good fight, so, you know, just keep up the good fight. That's what I say.
Okay, and I want to say that Dr. John Stahlberg has put people on death row, so if anybody has a prisoner out there, my case, he didn't see me, he didn't have the evidence, he admits it, and he made a medical diagnosis. So if anybody'd like to speak to me, I would be more than happy to talk to them. For money, he would do anything.
Wow.
It's
even
obvious.
A doctor, how much would that doctor pay?
$16,770 at $700 a page.
For every page he wrote, he received $700.
Yes. Unbelievable.
That's criminal, man.
Criminal. And the judge who partnered with him, who gave me other people's medical reports, that's HIPAA violation. The judge made his own medical diagnosis. Judge Coney changed all the facts.
Wow.
This is just disgusting. We do not have a just and fair and impartial judicial system.
Oh, absolutely not. You know, you got to go in there and sit and watch those judges work. The way they work is criminal. Absolutely. Listen, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want.
Okay, I'm sending out prayers and blessings to everybody. I don't want people to give up. I know things happen, even I, but God is with us. Blacks are beautiful. Whites are beautiful. We need to hug each other. We need to love each other. We need to be compassionate and caring, and we are going to make it. Luke 18, 1 through 8, about the terrible judge, which really is a parable. We need to pray, and we cannot lose hope.
Hey, that's one thing we can't do. We can't lose hope. And listen, I want you to continue this fight, and don't you lose hope.
Oh, thank you. I am, and I thank God for you, Reverend Pinckney. I mean, this was God. I would have never met you without the Lord. And I want people to look at the smiles they get every day, the kind words that get them through. I want them to see God as they've never seen him before, going through whatever they're going through.
Absolutely, absolutely. Listen, Roz, you take care of yourself. Stay healthy, and we love you, and let's continue this fight.
Okay, and I will, and I'm praying for Lynn.
Yes.
She's in my prayers all the time.
I want you to send out that petition. Have people to sign that petition for me. All they have to do is go to lynnstewart.org and the petition to come up and have people to sign it is crucial that they sign that petition.
Okay, it went on my Facebook page, too. So I had it on my Facebook, and I sent out a message to everybody.
Okay, way to go, way to go. We really appreciate you, but I got to move on.
Okay, love you all.
All right, have a good day. Catherine Connors, are you there?
Yes.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. Considering things, I'm doing okay.
Well, we're gonna go out here and try to raise some money for you.
I appreciate that. I appreciate everybody
Maybe we can handle a few things so we can get you some money, because I know those judges down there in Louisiana is nothing nice.
No, they're not, and they're not compromising. You know, and when I say that. To even go by the law.
Yeah.
You know, to go by the law. But, I've been trying to look for work. That's the main thing that has me in a bind. If I could find a job. But because this stigma is on my record, it is very hard.
Absolutely.
I didn't have no idea, Reverend Pinckney, that this would be this hard.
Yeah.
And I never had anything in my record before, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I qualified, you know, for quite a few jobs that I can do. I have some technical college, then I have a few certificates. But many of these jobs, to be honest, most of them that I have applied to, and I'm not. Above other jobs. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They really go hard on you if you have a conviction in your record. I had no idea. And it's no wonder that sometimes that people get out of prison sometimes and they're backstep. You know,
yeah.
it's nothing for these people to do. Nothing. It's almost like once you've been labeled, that's it.
Well, remember this, you know, once you, it's another way of not hiring you, too.
Well,
you see,
yeah.
Remember that.
Yeah,
they won't hire unemployment for, really, for the African Americans.
They won't hire unemployment.
That's what they want you. They want you to be unemployed. And now that, you know, they put a felony on your record, it's going to be very difficult. Maybe Walmart or something like that will hire you, but who won't actually? Well, I guess if you don't have another choice,
don't,
you
I'll
have
be
to go
honest,
Walmart.
I do not. I don't have no picks and chooses. I have applied at Walmart.
Walmart turned you down?
They haven't called me. I've applied at Walmart. I've applied because I'm certified in private duty sitting, and there was a job my niece is trying now to help me get into one that's, you know, like a private owner, a private person that needs a person to sit.
Yes.
But those companies would not accept me, even though I offered to show them evidence that I committed no crime.
Uh-huh.
They said, well, this is company policy, Ms. Connor. We're sorry. So it's like you're between a rock and a hard place. It's hard to get these organizations. I heard you talking, like the NAACP and what's the other one with
National Action?
Yeah, I wrote to them several times, even before I was convicted, to look into this. And I was a member of the NAACP at that time, and they wouldn't even acknowledge they got a complaint from me.
Oh no, well it haven't came back from the national office yet. Remember this, they sent it to the state, then they sent it to the national, sent it back to the state sent it back to the branch. Sometimes it take a year or two.
Well, no, this has been over 2 years.
Okay, well, she'll be coming back then.
And this is about my third complaint to them.
Wow, that's amazing.
I filed suit against them. I have the email on my computer, and when I sent it, no response.
No response.
And I called Baltimore. And I talked to someone there. I think his name was Jordan. And I thought that man was going to jump through the phone on me.
Mm.
He got so defensive about help when I was asking him about help and I had made my complaints. Well, we don't do this. And we don't. And you got a state president down there. And he just went, you know, just went ballistics.
Yeah.
What is going on here?
Well, that's an excuse they use.
But
we got to figure out a way to raise you some money. That's the most important thing. And you'll be out there looking for you a job, too.
I am. No. I am on every front, as they say. I am. That would help more than anything.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, here's another thing I was thinking, too, that maybe you can give Belinda Brown a call.
Yes, okay.
And you know, and she might be able to, because she has a position down there that she might be able to help you with, at least find a job somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Yes, just call her and tell her I told you to call.
Okay. Well,
and,
you haven't heard anything more from other organizations that might be.
That number you gave me to call?
Uh-huh.
The first one you gave me was wrong. I had to stumble and get the other number from the state, from here in Michigan.
I see.
And I called them, but they haven't called me back in reference to the complaint. I think they all do the same thing. It looked like they wanted me to leave a message. I left a message, left about 5 messages, and they have not called me back, and people always call me back.
Well, I had tried this one myself. I had tried this one in New Orleans myself.
They may not know, but I'm going to stay on them. I'm going to call them again.
Well, I appreciate everything and anything you can do, Reverend Pinkney, and everybody else out there.
Yeah,
I really appreciate it.
We're going to get some folks to send you some money. Well, why don't you also send them give them an address where if they want to mail you $10 or whatever that they can mail it to.
My address is Catherine Connor. You can I usually just say K Connor, Connor, P.O. Box 211, Wilson, Wilson, Louisiana, 70789.
Let's repeat that one more time for us.
That is K, Catherine, Katherine, Connor, Connor, P.O. Box 211, Wilson, Wilson, Louisiana, 70789.
And Ms. Connors, I want you to call me as often as you please. I be gone a lot, but if you call me usually, I've been out of town lately a lot, but I would try to get back with you because it's getting close to that time, and we need to figure out a way how we're going to work together.
Okay, and another thing I would like to ask, if there's anyone out there that is anyone out there that is an attorney or
file
a motion for actual innocence for me. A motion for actual innocence for me to the U.S. Supreme Court, because it doesn't seem like I'm going to get any results in Louisiana.
Absolutely.
It can be an organization, any kind of advocacy that can do a motion for actual innocence for me.
All right.
And it would be most appreciated, and it would help me tremendously.
All right. Well, listen, we're gonna keep you on every week until that time gets close, so you can get some of these folks to send you some money, okay?
Okay, and let me just say this, Reverend Pinkney. I have applied for a pardon.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want to do it because I just felt like the system would work with the evidence I have and the fact that this was not even a criminal matter, but, I had to do what I could do. But anyway, I applied for a pardon and was told that my application had been accepted.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't received
right.
my letter yet
okay.
To post in a paper.
All right.
But I am still interested in anyone that could file a motion for actual innocence for me.
All right. That'll work.
Okay,
all
thank
right
you.
Now. Listen, you take care of yourself, and I will talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Randy Short, are you there? You got about 90 seconds. Say whatever you want. Dr. Short, are you there? I guess not. Let's go on to my good friend, Ralph from New York. Ralph Horn, are you there?
Yeah, yes, I am, Reverend Pinkney, and I'm not in New York tonight. I'm in Fort Worth, Texas. I just had two good days of visiting Lynn, and she wants to thank all of those who went to their computer and went to the website, lynnstewart.org, and signed on. And I think I mentioned that we have Bishop Tutu has signed on. We're looking for others to sign on. We have Dick Gregory going on a fast until Lynn is out, a liquid fast. He'll be traveling around. We have Ed Asner, the artist, is signing on, and we're looking to expand that list of people of goodwill. And this is all it takes, people of goodwill to sign on. The list is growing. Please be on that list. And then when they sing the song, I want to be in that number, when the saints come marching home, well, when Lynn Stewart comes marching home, I want everybody to be in that number. Have your name on that list, Free Lynn Stewart. Thank you, Reverend Pinkney.
All right. And I want everybody to go to lynnstewart.org and sign that petition and get it out to your friends. It's crucial that you sign the petition. We don't care how you do it, just do it. It's amazing what we can do when we all work together. And all my TI friends out there, well, I know it's a million of y'all. I need y'all to go to lynnstewart.org and sign that petition. And don't fight about it. Just do it. On that note, let me bring in Dr. Short. Are you there? Okay, let me go to Mary. Are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinkney, and I am so glad to be here with you and to tell people once again about the recent murder of a young lady in the Walmart parking lot who they said she was shoplifting. She was with two little children, so they could have shot one of the kids by mistake. She looks like she's only about 20 years old. And these things are happening everywhere. It seems the police have, this is become a police state. We know that.
That's
and
right.
And now even Caucasians are finding out because police riddled Christopher and Stacy's car with bullets, and that was in Oklahoma. And we just want these people to stop naming themselves judge, jury, executioners. The police need to calm down.
All right, Mary, we don't have any more time left, but I do just want to remind everybody that April the 28th, we're going to be in Detroit for the protest of the NAACP, and we want you to be there. Those of you that's in the community, the TI community, and you want to attend, you're welcome to attend. We will have a press conference. Most likely it'll be almost like in Washington or in Baltimore. But I want you to do that. I want to go throw out a little shout-out to Yvonne, my good friend that was in Baltimore. She did a magnificent job while we were there, and I really appreciated her. And we want to make sure that everybody understands how important it is for everybody to work together. And let's continue to work together. And remember, you must protest the NAACP. Stop allowing them to pimp us, and then we can stop them from doing the things that they've been doing to us for years. And on that note, I'm sorry to say we have no more time. We have ran out of time. And we will talk to you very soon. God bless you. God keep you. And have a wonderful day. There you go. Good night, all.